Boker Tov, world.
And today's daf in Mesechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Irak Kadesh, is daf Hey. Let's start at the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis so that we can get right smack bang into the depths of the issue. So remember, we've been looking for, ostensibly, this is the way the Gemara has been teaching us about half a kachim in a couple of days, but we've been looking for ostensibly the mocker of how do we know that Shinoi Kadesh is possible, and how do we know that Shinoi Bailim is possible? And then we want to know how do we know Shinoi Kadesh and Shinoi Bailim are possible not only in Zvicha, but also in Kabbalah and in Halacha and in Srika. And then we want to know how do we know that Shinoi Kadesh and Shinoi Bailim is possible in Shchita and Kabbalah and Halacha and Zrika, not only in the Karban Shlamim, but also in all other Karbanais. And in order to get that clear, we managed to go through all of the possible ways in which you can create groupings of the various halachas in which we have different sets. And that's because since one of the primary ways of derivation in the Torah is through a ma matzino that is made out of more than one thing, searching for a common denominator. So as we search for a common denominator, we have a fantastic opportunity to ferret out every last element that may make a difference. And that allows us to see which things fit together in different ways. And that's exactly what the Gemara has been doing. In the end, we came yesterday to actually recognize that the way, and of course we could have done this at the beginning, but if we did, then we wouldn't know anything about all of these details. It turns out that there's a hekesh that actually compares all of the various karbanas to one another. And let's take a look at that again on the third line of the big lines down, on Amud Beis. Just a quick review. Zot haTorah lo'olah v'la mincha v'la chatat v'la sham v'li milu'im l'zevach ha'shlamim. Ikishan hakatuv lishlamim, which means that everything is compared to shlamim. And therefore, since all of these dinim appear in shlamim, they're also true about everything else. And what is that fundamental truth? Well, it's that ma shlamim, in the same way that shlamim bein shinoi kadesh, bein shinoi bailim, is pasul. And we need, when we say pasul, of course, we don't mean pasul for a carbon, but be'inan lishma, and where we don't shecht it, it's not erla l'shem balim. But wait, how do we know that? If we need lishma, so then eima hechad ha'shachit l'shelo lishma l'ifsilo. But then that would mean that it should be possible if it's not shechted lishma properly, both in terms of the balim and in terms of the kadesh. Ah. For that, we go back to the pasuk that we had all the way on the first daf of the Mesechet. Omar kro, mutzasifatecha tishmor v'yasita kasher nadarta. And then it continues on to say, kasher nadarta nidava. How does that make sense? Hai nidava? I thought you just said kasher nadarta, in which case it's a neder. And as we saw, there's major differences between neder and nidava. Ella, what it's telling us is, im kamashin adarta asita. Asita kasher nadarta, then you're yotze. But if you didn't do kasher nadarta, and you didn't keep these dinim of lishma, shem hegdesh, and the shem of the balim, then it's not as if it's completely pasul, it's that it flips into a nadava. Now, a nadava, of course, is a kosher carbon. It's just that it's not yours in terms of fulfilling any kind of neder that you made. It's a beautiful gift, and we're very happy that you want to bring a gift, but it doesn't do anything for you. And because of that, we see that it's not ela lebaalim l'shem chova. If he were, in fact, responsible, this would not be motzi's responsibility, and therefore everything now becomes clear, except you might think that perhaps motzas v'techa would be sufficient in itself, because after all, if the Torah tells me you got to do what you said you were going to do, and you actually didn't, so then it would be kosher now that it says it, and that means that I know all the halachas I said I was going to do, and that included lishma. No, not true. We need both of these psukim, and that this is where we got up to yesterday. The itzrich motzah sifatecha, the itzrich zot haTorah. Both of these psukim are absolutely essential in the lima that we have here. Because look, let's say the Torah would have said, motzah sifatecha, and that was it. It wouldn't have told us all of the post psukim that were the limud, that we need to do it lishma, and then the additional kekesh of all of the korbanos to shlomim. Well, you see, I wouldn't have known when it says motzah sifatecha. What does that mean? Lo yada b'mai. I mean, that could mean anything. I don't know what that means. In terms of lishma, I mean, maybe it means in terms of doing the zrika the proper number of times, or maybe it means pouring out the dam, you know, on the yisod of the mizbeach. I mean, it could mean a lot of things. It could mean remembering that it's for Hashem, like all of the other things that we brought up. But where does it tell me precisely how to focus the motzah sifatecha? That's the question. So therefore, the Torah has to tell us, Kotev Rachmana Zota Torah, to teach us that the Motzah Sifatecha, in fact, has to deal with all of the dinim of Lishma. On the other hand, suppose it would have said Zota Torah, so then I would have said, well, all right, I now know that it is an absolute requirement to do the Zricha and the HaKabbalah and the Halacha and the Zrika, Lishma Shel HaBa'alim VeLishma Shel HaKodesh. And if I don't, then I would think that it would be possible. Hava Mina Lifsilu. Therefore, the Torah had to write the Motzah Sifatecha, that it's if it's not Kasher Nadarta, it's still a kosher korban, and it becomes a nidava. That's why we need both of these psukim. Now, Reish Lakish, as you know, was quite a character, and he didn't put up with anybody, and he didn't put up with conventions, and he always used to talk about his nice fat tummy as being quite enough of a bed for him, and he doesn't know why everybody thinks they need these fancy mattresses. And so he was lying on that famous tummy in the Beis HaMedrash one day, kicking his heels, thinking about things, you know. And there he was, Rami Reish Lakish al-Ma'ohi b'Midrash. Reish Lakish was lying on his tummy in the middle of the Beis HaMedrash. And he's thinking to himself and asking everybody, this thing does not make any sense. I mean, if the carbon is kosher, so then you brought a carbon. I mean, I don't understand what that means. You brought a carbon, so then that carbon is maratza on you, right? I mean, you can't pretend you didn't bring it. And if the carbon doesn't achieve anything, and that was the reason that it was being brought, if it doesn't achieve anything, then why are you bringing it? So I don't quite understand. Now, he did not as yet know, as Rashi points out, that we're relying on the posik of Motzah Sifatecha, Nadarta Nidava. Okay. So he was asking, I don't understand it. Im kshirimei miratzu, and if they're not miratzim, why are they coming at all? Omarlo Rabbi Elazar. Now this is not Rabbi Eliezer. It's very confusing because it's another one of these Gemaras where Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, makes reference to Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, and printers got, or the scribes and the before printing got confused between the Eliezer and the Elazar, and it often just gets mixed up because they're just writing as AIs. They don't necessarily know what they're writing. So yeah, basically, don't get confused. We're talking about a conversation between Reish Lakish and a contemporary who obviously was not Rebbe Eliezer, who was a Tana from previous generations. So this is clearly Rabbi Elazar. All right. So Rabbi Elazar says to Reish Lakish, well, Matzino b'va'im li'achar mitashim k'sherim ve'im miratzim. We know that it's impossible to bring a kapara or a ritzui for a person who is no longer living in Olam Hazeh. And nonetheless, if, and this we know from the case of a yoledet, that if the person who was chai of the korban dies, if we're not talking about a korban chatas, where if the owner dies, then remember that becomes one of the five chataot hametot, was a chata shemesu ba'alel. But let's say it's an oila, so then an heir brings that oila. Now, obviously, that oila is not going to be meratza on the individual who is no longer living. So therefore, says Rabbi Elazar, if that is true, and we know it's true from a Mishnah that we learned, or actually we haven't learned this yet together this time around, but the Mishnah in Kinin, which says that if a woman had a child, and the Yoledes is chayef to bring a chatas and an oila. She had already brought her chatas, and she died, and now the oila was left to her heirs, yavil yorshim olata. So then they should bring her korban oila. But if she had brought her oila and died, leaving her chatat, lo yavil yorshim chatata. And that's because of the simple reason that we have halacha l'moshe Sinai, the chamesh chataot hametot, one of which is chatat shemeto ba'aleha. But in any event, says Rabbi Elazar to Reish Lakish, look, if you can bring a korban after death, then obviously it's not coming to be meratza, and the Torah says, bring it anyway. Does that not prove to you that a korban does not have to be meratza in order for you to be able to bring it? So what are you sitting over there kicking your heels over? There's no problem. We have exactly this case beferish in the Torah.
Rabbi, why is that obvious? Why doesn't the neshama? Why doesn't the neshama need the ritzui? I don't understand why that's obvious.
Korbanos are meratza through aveda. In that, in Olam Hazeh, there's no aveda. So what's it going to do for you? Gam avatam, gam kinatam, kvar avada.
So it's my interaction with the korban, like in Hilchos Tshuva. The fact that there's a debt to pay.
Yeah, but let's not get too philosophical in the middle of Daf Yomi.
No, I understand, but I didn't understand it.
Okay. So we have the beginning of an understanding, and then in 40 years, Bezrat Hashem, we will complete that understanding. So, said Reish Lakish to Rebbe Elazar, well, I agree with you about an ola. Of course, an ola I wouldn't have asked, because olas are basically gifts that are being brought entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, yeah, okay, so bring a gift. I get that. But I understand that a chatas obviously will never happen, but an asham does not come le'achar misa. And the purpose of the asham, after all, is to be mechaper on the chet of the individual who brings it. So why is it coming? An asham that cannot be brought by an heir le'achar mita, and this is something that we're going to learn later on, which is another Gabi Klal, who is currently in sight of his drone, and hopefully the drone will pick this up. And that is that kol shebechatat meita be'asham ro'a. So wherever a chatas is one of the chomesh chataot hametot, the din is that in the equivalent case, such as an asham shemeita ba'alel, so over there, the din is ro'a, which means put it out to pasture, wait till it gets a mum, sell it, and use the money to bring a korban oila as a kayitz lamizbeach. Now, so an asham, therefore, is not brought be'achar misa. So why should I do it at all? If it's no longer kosher, what's the point of continuing after I do a shchita, let's say, b'shinui kodesh? What would be the point of continuing on and now doing the Kabbalah and the Holacha and the Zrika? It's not coming for any purpose. That's what I'm asking about. Oh, says Rebbe Elazar, an asham, the truth is, in the Mishnah, there's somebody that actually agrees with you. So it looks like you're thinking right. Hare machloket chabitzido. You got that very shita, namely Rabbi Eliezer, not to be confused with Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Eliezer says, you know what? Afa asham. There's no point in bringing the asham either, and it's not brought. So, you're on the right path. So Reish Lakish looks at him like he's crazy. This is a guy that's supposed to be an intelligent, great man. Zero shomrim alav adam gadol. I don't understand. What are you? I'm telling you, I don't understand the Mishnah. So obviously, I'm talking about the Tanakhama, and you say, Hatamit, yes, there's always rebel, yes. What kind of stupid answer is that? So Kamina Ana Mishnah Shleima, I ask you from a Stam Mishnah, and you say, well, yeah, there's always rebel, yes. Never mind, there's no one intelligent to talk to in this place. Yellow Amar Resh Lakish, okay, I'll work it out on my own. Goodbye, gentlemen. Eftach Ana Pitcha Lanafshai, I'll work this out myself, okay? Since it says in the Pasuk, Motzas Vatecha Tishmor, and Asita, if it's Kasita, and if not, then it's Nidava. So that shows me, Kiliyah, like the Gemara said before, he came up with the same idea that we came up, and that's the reason why we will bring an Asham for no purpose. Oh, now wait a minute, Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba were sitting there. Abaya was there too, and they were talking between themselves, and they said, this makes no sense. Resh Lakish is sitting there, and he's focusing the question on one particular case, which was the case of Asham. He's not talking about the overall din that we had before, about Ola and so on and so forth. He said, I'm worried about the Asham specifically, right? So, Kashalei Resh Lakish Asham, because Asham is not brought by Achamis. Now, what kind of answer is it to bring the pasuk of Motza Sefatecha, Kasher Nadarta Nidava? Hey man, that pasuk cannot be referring to an Asham. You can't bring an Asham with a Neder, and you can't bring an Asham with a Nadava, so the pasuk he's bringing is totally off the wall. He's making fun of the other guys. His pasuk makes no sense. He brings a Raya Nasiv La Talmuda from the Pasek of Motzas Vatecha. Well, my obvious response to that is, yes, Motzas Vatecha makes sense in the case where it could be a Motzas Vatecha. Namely, it would be Baba Neder Benedava. Yes, indeedy. So if you could bring it Beneder Benedava and you don't do it properly, so fine, you're right. Laite Veloli Ratze, let it come along and be a Nedava. But the Asham is not included in that, and Resh Lakish's question stands. It should not be brought. For what purpose are we bringing it? Lo laite klal. Now, Abaya, who was standing there and overheard the conversation of Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba, in which they make out that Resh Lakish made a big mistake, he said to them, excuse me, gentlemen, but you don't understand what Resh Lakish was doing here. Resh Lakish didn't bring, you heard half of the story. Resh Lakish did not bring the pasuk of Motzas Vatecha as his full proof. He started like this. It says in the pasuk, Vishachat Ota Lechatat. Okay, so that means that a chatas has to be a chatas lishma, lechatat. And that means that lishma kshera shelo lishma psula. But note that it stresses ota lechatat. I just say v'shachta lechatat. What's this v'shachat ota lechatat? That tells me only chatat ota lishma kshera shelo lishma psula. It's chatat and only chatat in which this din of shelo lishma makes it puzzle. Other kachim, however, harshar kachim, even shalolishman are ksherim. Then, that was the first part of his drasha. Now that included, obviously, asham and everything else, right? So that means that it's kosher. Then he continued, and this is the part that you heard, you might think that that means that it's meratzah. No, it's not meretz. Tamid v'omu motzas v'techa, and all that you're left with is a nedava. You're not really left with the full carbon that you set out. So actually, the basis of the din that he was saying, that the Torah is saying that the asham is kosher, I have no choice but to accept that because of the pasuk of otah lechatat. And then as far as, okay, so maybe it would even be kosher, if it's brought shalolishma, Therefore, I now know from the fact that the Torah says other karbanos that were not done properly, lishma, don't actually achieve anything. It's clear that the Yasham also doesn't achieve anything. No, no, wait a minute, they say to Abai, excuse me. But even that doesn't follow. Because you can only use Motzas Vatecha to tell me this halacha, that it does not achieve anything, where it could be brought b'neder or b'nedava. That's the whole point of Motzas Vatecha. If you opened up your mouth and you made a commitment and you made it as a neder and you're not doing it as the proper neder, then we're left with a nedava. Fine. So there it's telling me anything like that should be brought on the Mizbeach, but it will not achieve its ends. But it's not referring to an Asham now, is it? So now, if the Torah tells me that the Asham is kosher shelo lishma, then why isn't Rish Lakish's original problem still a problem? Bring the Asham and let the Asham work. Where does it say that the Asham doesn't work? It only says that a neder nedava doesn't work, right? So Laite, an Asham should be Itsui Nami Liratze. Bring it and let it actually achieve its goals. Says Abaye, what are you talking about? That's not logical. Of course, Reish Lakish had every right to bring that pasuk to tell me that the Asham will not be Meratze because it's a Kal Vachomer. You can't say that the meaning of the pasuk is, well, only a Neder and a Dava doesn't work, but an Asham works. Asham de Meratze, you never can say such a thing. It's stupid because it's a Kal Vachomer. If an Ola, which is not a Kapora, and a Kapora is the most difficult kind of Ritzoy, right? I mean, look, you know, you bring an Ola, it achieves a Ritzoy in the sense that if you miss Kriya Shema one day or anything like that, you know, or if you were dragged away from your Tachanun by Tafyomi and now you're feeling guilty, you know. So if you bring a carbon Ola, you can always be mitchaper with that carbon Ola. You know, but that's not kapara. I mean, that's like a ritsui. Now we're friends again. Kapara is really tough. I mean, kapara erases the chait, and that is much beyond just ritsui. So if an ola, which isn't even coming for kapara, doesn't achieve even ritsui, an asham, where the whole point is kapara, which is super duper ritsui, enodin sheino meratze. So obviously you can't say bring the asham and it'll be good. So that definitely still follows from the pasuk of Motzas Vatecha. We're just applying it as a Kal Vachomer, even to the Asher. Well, says the Gemara, sounds good, but not necessarily. Because, look, you could always say that an Eila, the reason that an Eila is not going to be Meratze, is because Eilas have something very chamur that is not true of any other carbon. And what is that? And this is in our list of the specifics for each carbon. We've been gradually building up that repository of knowledge about all of the various dinim of all of the various karbanas. We haven't mentioned that which is miyuchad, of course, in the carbon eila, is that an eila is brought kalil ala mizbeach. It's totally on the mizbeach. That itself is a chumra. And therefore, maybe that chumra is the reason that an Eila will not be Maratza. Masha Einkein, an Asham, well, maybe an Asham would even be Maratza. Ah, but let's find a Raya that issue of being Khalil cannot be the real problem, because a Shlamim, remember, is also not brought on the Mizbeach Khalil, and nonetheless, it is also not Maratza. And in that case, it would appear that it's true that whatever it is that is making it not be Maratze is not the fact that it's Khalil. And therefore, it is still a good Kal Vachomer to say, well, if an Ola can't work and a Shlomim can't work, so that explains why the Asham can't work. Well, now, wait a minute. Remember that Shlomim has its own very special set of chumras. And what is that? Shlomim is the only carbon that requires things that no one other carbon requires. Now, one of these is going to be missing here. And what is that? Smicha. Because an Asham also requires smicha, so you can't say Shlomim are different because they require smicha, right? But Shlomim does need Nisachim, does need the Tnufa of Chazav Veshok. And therefore, maybe that's why it's Chomor. Well, but then Ola proves that that's not the critical factor, because Ola does not have any of that. It doesn't have Nisachim and Tnufas Chazav Veshok. And, but Ola is on the Mizbeach. Yes, but Shlomim isn't. And what is this called? The Chazar Hadin. So we keep going back and forth. This item is not critical because we prove it from the other karma. But the other karma has another issue. Yes, but that item is not critical because we go back to the first one. And we look for the common denominator. And therefore, this is called the Chazar Hadin Lori Izekir Izeh, the Lori Izekir Izeh. What is the common denominator? Hatzada Shava Shebehen. Is they are kachim, they were shechter chalolishman, they are kosher, and they do not work. Okay, so then that's the same for asham. Afani avi asham, it's a carbon and it's kodesh, and if you shechter chalolishmo, it's kosher, which we know from the chattas lishmo kashera, and it's not going to be meratza. That's my understanding of Resh Lakish. No. There's another common denominator. It's amazing how we just keep seeing all of the possible sets. I love it. So Mala Tzada Shava Shebehen. There's something else. They are both types of karbanas that can be a carbon sibor. A shlomim can be a carbon sibor. Really? Yes, remember? We spoke about this in the introduction to Zvachim. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor that are brought together with the Shtei Alechem on Chag HaShavuot are a Tzibor Shlomim. And an Oila, of course, has always been Tzibor. I mean, that's the Karban Tamid. So the fact that something is brought but Tzibor gives it a higher level of importance, and maybe that's why it's not Meratza. But maybe just a simple old asham, which is never brought as a carbon sibur, maybe that would actually work even if it was shalol lishma. Well, now, wait a minute. A toda is never a carbon sibur, and a toda has exactly that same halacha that it's like the shalomim, and it's not yotzi yedecho vato, as we saw. So that proves now, put the three together, and that proves that the other thought here of another critical factor, besides Khalil, and besides the Tnufas Chazav Veshok, is the question of Tzibur. Well, I'll bring in a Toda to add to the proofs, and I'll show you that being a Karban Tzibur is not a critical factor. Yes, but there's another critical factor about a Toda. And what is that? Didn't think of that one yet, did you? A Toda requires lechem. Remember, together with the Karban Toda, you have to bring 40 lechems, and you have to set aside the special Truma Lachme Toda. That's like a big chumrah. So maybe that's the critical factor that makes the Toda be not Miratza in the event that it was brought B'Shinoi Kodesh or B'Shinoi Baalim. Yes, but that cannot be the critical factor, because Ola and Shlomim both show that the need for lechem is not critical. Neither Ola nor Shlomim need lechem. So this proves that none of the elements that you identified as critical, Tnufas Chazav Veshok, and the fact that it's can be a carbon tzibur, and the fact that it's kalil, and the fact that it's lechem, none of those things are critical. As we can now show with a three-way Chazar Hadin, Lori Zekri Zev, Lori Zekri Zev, what is the common denominator between all three of these items? Shlomim, Eila, Teda, put them all together, and what do you get? Hatzada Shava Sheban is that they're Kachim, and they're Kachim Shalal Shema, and none the rest are not Meratzeh, Afani Avi Asham, which is Kodesh, and if you shech the Chalal Lishma, it's kosher and it's not Meratza. Whew! I think that should do it. Nope, says the Gemara, it doesn't. I can find another deeper hidden Tzada Shava between all three of them. And that one shouts out, you should have spotted this on your own. All three of these cases, the Torah and the Shlamim and the Eila, are able to be a neder or a nedava. An asham cannot be a neder or a nedava. I mean, isn't it very possible that since the whole point over here in the pasuk that was talking about bringing things and they're not being meratza and that a neder becomes a nedava, I mean, isn't it possible that that itself is a factor? And that all of these types of korbanos, where indeed we find that they can be brought and not meratza, that's because of the fact that they fit the bill. They're boim ben neder ben adava, and therefore they are classic examples of motzas vatecha, kasher nadarta, and then nedava. But the asham is not. And since it cannot be brought as a neder or a nedava, and maybe it would actually be meratza. Ela Amar Rava, now that I've whirled you around with all of my arguments, we can come back to the simple solution. And that is my wonderful favorite pasuk, Zot HaTorah La'olam La'mincha La'chatat V'la'asham V'alimiluim U'lezevach HaShlamim. They're all compared to each other. And why didn't you tell me that? Because then you wouldn't know anything, stupid. So I didn't tell you that in the beginning. But now that you've figured out everything that you needed to know about why you need to know this kakesh, now I'll tell it to you. So that, hikishu akatuv l'shlamim, just like shlamim are kachim, shartan shalal l'shmok shemim, ve'ena meratzim, and you cannot ask questions on a hekesh. A hekesh is a given limud. This is the way it is. And therefore, just like shlamim are kachim, shachtan shalal l'shmam, they are kshirim, but they're not meratzim. Af ani avi asham, it's kodesh, and shachtan shalal l'shmam kshirim, ve'ena meratzim. Whew, what do you think about that? I'm not impressed. What? I'm not impressed. Because, I mean, the hekesh over here might be techatas. What makes you think that it's l'shlamim? My chazita da kashta l'shlamim, compare it to the carbon chatas. I mean, that's a chatas, and then it would mean that an ashram shalal l'shma is completely possible. Hey, wait a minute. At the beginning, I told you that that's not an option, remember? It says ota l'chatat, which means only the chatat is going to be possible shalal l'shma, which is basically stating, do not misuse any further limudim to try to apply the din of chatas to ashram. What are you trying to mean that's for? Hamiyad Rachmana Ota, it says Beferish, that's not an issue. Okay, now, that seems to end the problem, but we're not really happy with the way that this whole thing evolved. I mean, yes, I understand now what the halacha is, but I'm not happy with the conversation between Reish Lakish and Rebbe Lazar and the whole discussion. Because look, here was Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. They were just sitting and talking. Rav Sheshes was nearby. And they were saying, I don't really understand what this whole big discussion was about. Reish Lakish brings up this issue of asham, right? And he says, well, an asham, you cannot compare it to the oila, which can be brought la'achar mita, because an asham cannot be brought la'achar mita. But you know what? What Rabbi Elazar, this is the Amora, his friend Rabbi Elazar, that he made fun of in the Beis HaMedrash, that nobody's got brains around here. So that, what Rabbi Elazar should have done at that point, instead of telling him, well, there's always the sheet of Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah, which only got him into trouble. You don't start off with Reish Lakish and say something like that, let me tell you. So why didn't he tell him something entirely different? What he should have said is that what makes you say that an asham cannot be brought li'achar mita? It's not really true. The asham is ultimately brought li'achar mita because, look, if the halacha is that kol shebechatas mesa, we just learned that in a very important Gavi rule, kol shebechatas mesa ba'asham raya. So if that would be the case, that means that that asham ultimately ends up on the Mizbeach. I mean, not itself, perhaps, but its kedusha and its value. We set it out in the field, wait till it gets a mum, sold it and used the money. And where did the money go? On the Mizbeach. Okay, so don't tell me, what Rabbi Elazar should have said to him, is don't tell me that we don't bring it. We do bring it. And therefore, if you were ready to admit that a carbon can be brought, such as the Yoyla, Le'achar Misa, and therefore, by definition, cannot be achieving a kapara, a ritzui, the same thing should be true about the Asham. The Asham is nonetheless brought. So you see, you do not need to achieve ritzui in order for a carbon to be kosher. What would have been wrong with that argument? Like, why couldn't he have just said that? He should have said, your assumption, my dear Reish Lakish, is wrong. Actually, an Asham is not fundamentally different than an Ayla because the Asham ends up becoming an Ayla, Le'achar Misa. So Asham nami ati Le'achar Mita. Well, Rabbi Elazar couldn't have said that because, look, Rabbi Sheshesh, who was sitting there, said he couldn't have said that. Because when you bring the Asham, okay, what do you bring that Asham as? The actual Asham? No. You bring it for its value, correct? That's called Motar Asham. Motar means wherever you have value that is left over from a Kedusha, then that is brought as not an Ola for the person who set it aside. Motarot are brought for, this is another Gavi rule, please, Kayitz Lamizbeach. Please, Gavi, I hope you're there underneath the G somewhere. So that a Kayitz Lamizbeach, Kayitz means dessert. Actually, it really means figs, but that was usually used for kompot. You know, that's your dessert. So the Mizbeach also gets dessert. The dessert for the Mizbeach is when the Mizbeach is finished eating the main karbonas and there's nothing around to eat and the Mizbeach is hungry. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to feed figs to the Mizbeach? I mean, come on. And Mizbeach doesn't like figs, and it's not even allowed to have figs, remember? Kol sa'arva kol tavash, he'll taktir mimenu. So what becomes dessert for the Mizbeach? A nice, yummy oila, that the whole thing goes on the Mizbeach. So that's called desserts. So the motarot are brought as an oila for kayetz l'mizbeach. Well, I mean, that's a totally different issue, and it wouldn't have proved a darn thing, because a chatas could also be brought, essentially, in cases of motarot. So that would mean that the entire thing is irrelevant, because a chatas is pasur shelo lishma, despite the fact that its motarot are brought. So obviously motarot are not a critical factor in the determination of whether the carbon is brought or not. The chatas itself is motarot, as I'll show you in a moment, and nonetheless it's not brought. So fine. So the fact that the asham is brought as an oila obviously cannot prove that therefore we have an answer to your problem, Reish Lakish, because ultimately the asham gets on the Mizbeach. Well, so does the chatas. So that doesn't prove anything. Now, how in the world could a chatas be brought for motarot? If one of the chataot ha-metot are, if the owner died, so then that's not included. You don't use that money. If another one of the chataot ha-metot is the owner became a, used another carbon, he was nischaper with acheret, then the chatas that he had is no longer kosher and it has to be left to die. So where the heck would we ever get motarot? Ah, there is a case of motarot. And what is that? Where a person is going up to Yerushalayim. He's desperate. He's been waiting for years for this grand opportunity to go up to Yerushalayim, to bring his carbon chatas. He's not going to let anything get in the way of his getting that kapora. So he brings along a redundant chatas, which is called bringing it up for achrayut. Just in case anything happens, he wants to guarantee that he's going to get his kapora. Now, in that case, where it was originally set aside to cover in the event that something would happen to the other animal, that is not called a chatas that the owner was Nischaper Bacheres, which would have included it in the Chatorot HaMetot. And there, indeed, the value of that backup Chatas is brought for Kayetz HaMizbeach in exactly the same way. We put it out the pasture, and we use it for Chatas in the Motarot. So that's the point. So if a chatat is also brought for motarot, so obviously motarot, and nonetheless chatas, is considered to be pasur shel lishma, so the question of motarot is not the important factor in determining whether a carbon should be brought, despite the fact that it's not being meratzes. So drop that. Says the Gemara, now wait a minute. Why should I drop that? I mean, the chatas, it's true that you can bring the motarot, but this point is unique to chatas, because the Torah said, we said that it's only the chatas, despite the fact that it can be brought li'achar misa, that's not going to change what I paskin in terms of shelo lishma, because the Torah said it has to be a chatas. So chatas is not important here. What are you telling me? Well, the chatas, but that doesn't prove anything about the asham, doesn't? So since it says it has to be that chatas, that's not true of the asham. The asham perhaps is actually brought and will be meratza. Hey, wait. Now, wait a minute. It says the word who by an asham too. Let's take a look. Where does it say by a chatas who? V'shachat oto b'mkom asher yishchat oto ola lifnei Hashem chatat who, that means that if it's a chatas, and then and only then it's a kosher. If it's not brought as a chatas, it's not kosher. So you're telling me chatas is unique, that it's pasul, even though it should be brought as motarot, right? But the same word applies by the asham. V'iktir otam ha-kohen ha-mizbecha ishel ha-shem asham hu. How do you like that? So, the same exact word should be true about the asham. Listen to this one. This is so brilliant. The same exact word should apply to the asham, and it should only be kosher if it's an asham who, right? Ah, wrong. Why? It's the same who. Well, look at the context, and you'll understand why it's obviously not the same who. Because the who that it says over there, do not get confused with Dr. Seuss now, how who le'achar haktaras emurim hu dechtiv. Where does that who appear? It appears with the words, hiktiro tamakohen amizbecha. What's that referring to? The emurim. Chatat hu. So you're trying to tell me that chatat hu means what? That the haktaras emurim, if it's damish boshal, asham hu. Asham, if it's brought at for the purpose of asham, then the haktaras emurim is kosher and the asham is kosher. But if not, then the asham is not kosher. I got news for you. If you took the emurim and you sold them in Supersol, instead of bringing them on the Mizbeach, it would have absolutely no impact on the carbon whatsoever. So how could changing the name of the kimurim have an impact? Emurim aren't important. Once you do Zrikas Adam, we pay no attention to the Emurim. So who couldn't possibly be telling me the carbon is pasul if the Emurim aren't even important? And that, therefore, who is mentioned li'achar haktarat emurimu dichtiv. And this, basically, is a braita. The braita points this out. Kiritanya. Aval Hashem. It's true that by chatas it says who, and that means it's pasur shelo lishma. But by asham, the only place that it says who is in hiktiro tamakoyin amizbecha, which is talking about who le'achar haktaras emurim. And who cares about haktaras emurim? Who atzmoim lo hiktir emurim at all, it would be kosher. Therefore, the who of the asham obviously is coming for something else and has nothing to do about shelo lishma. Well, what is it for, by the way? So why did it say who? I mean, if you're telling me the who is so important, what's the who about the asham? Ah, that's the Kirivuna Amar Rav. The Amar of Huna Amar Rav. This is a very important yesod. The yesod is that all over Shas, the Gemara identifies any existential word as demanding continued existential presence. So whether it says who, whether it says haya, whether it says yesh, whatever it says that is an existential meaning, it always means that's the way it is. That's the point of a who. And therefore, it's coming to teach me what Rav Huna Amar Rav pointed out, which is, if you had an asham that was meant to be left to graze, so it was one of the chamesh ashamot, which were the equivalent of the chataot ametot, which we said the din is over there, they're left to be roya, right? Now, you took your asham and you put it out to pasture. Somebody comes along and says, oh, that was a carbon. And he brings it into the Beis HaMikdash and he shechs it. It's kosher. It's kosher as an oila, but it's kosher even though the person didn't have any particular kavana for it. Now, note that it says over there, asham shenitak l'ri'iyah. It's only if it was broken. Nitak means you cut it out from its prior status and you put it out to graze for purposes of getting a moon. But only then would we say that it's an oila. Then yes, but suppose somebody found it before you put it out to pasture. So then what? Lo nitak lo. Why? If the ashram is meant for an oila, why? Ah, that's why the Torah said, who? The point of that who is it tells me that it needs to existentially, bahavayato, in its state of being, it must remain. And that means unless something is done to actively change it, it is what it is. And that's why if you shechted it, it would not be a kosher oila unless you did something to change it. And therefore, even though a rose is a rose is a rose, however, if you paint it with tar, you no longer say a rose is a rose is a rose. The same thing is true of an asham, shenitak. Once it's there, l'ri'iyah, it is not an asham hu. Anyway, Yosef Reb Nachman v'Reb Sheshes, another interesting conversation between Reb Nachman and Reb Sheshes, where Reb Ada Bar Masna was sitting nearby, and they were saying, you know, Reb Elazar answered Reish Lakish, and he said, well, we find the same idea of karbonis coming li'achar mita, and they are kosher, and they're not meratza. And Reish Lakish said, yeah, I admit that when it comes to an ola, that would be true. Why did Reish Lakish say, yeah, I admit? I don't understand. Why didn't Reish Lakish have exactly the same problem? And he should say, Lema le Reish Lakish, well, why indeed is that a proof? I have the same question over there. If you're bringing something, le'achar misa, it should be meratza. How would it be meratza? It should be meratza for the yorshim. The yorshim of the yoledet are going to bring this as a carbon, we said. They'll bring it as a carbon oila. So why can it not be meratza on them? I am questioning fundamentally. Is that what Reish Lakish was saying? I am questioning fundamentally. If you're bringing a carbon, then what's it for? It has to be for something. So the same way I asked you about the asham, I'm going to ask you about the oila li'achar mita. It should be meratza. Meratza? Amar Lahu Rav Ada Bar Masna was sitting there. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Meratza? I mean, this is a carbon of a yoledet. The heir is not even a female. So, what? Did he have a baby too? We're going to be meratza on him? Meratza for what? This is an ola that is specified for yoledet. Well, she had a baby. Did her sons have a baby? Yoledet. Imi yalda banel mi yaldu. They didn't have any babies. Matki floravasna. Wait a minute. Wait. That's not necessarily important. Who's to say? Man Lemelan, who's to say that let's say there were things that this Yoledet had done that she was over on a mitzvah saseh, Ika kama ase gaba. Who's to say that if she had certain averas, and then she would have brought her korban ola as a yoledet, who's to say that those issues would not have also been merutzim because of the fact that she brought an ola? And it was not brought for a specific thing, and therefore, if she brought that ola, it would be mechaper on those other things along with the yoledas. Well, if that's the case, if you're ready to agree that kivan dechiyika kama segaba mechapra, then Rish Lakish would have been able to say, and why didn't he, that the Yarshim, maybe they missed Kriyat Shema sometime in their life. So they should be able to bring this Eila, and it would be Mechapra on them. See Yarshia Nami Mechapri. That should be Rish Lakish's argument. What kind of argument is that? I mean, in order for a Yorish to get a Kapora, he would have to be the owner of the Korban. Is a Yorish an owner of a Korban? Or is he merely he who carries out the need to pay the korban? I mean, are you suggesting that Lameimra Dekanyelahu, a Yorish, actually owns a korban? The Omar Rabbi Yochanan said that if a man died and he left over a korban mincha that needed to be brought, and he's got two sons. Now, the din is that a korban mincha cannot be brought by two people, cannot be brought by partners, because it says nefesh kitakriv. Nefesh means a single individual. So in this case, what happens? He left over the mincha to his two sons. Do we just throw it out? No. It's brought on the Mizbeach, and they are not considered to be partners. So if they're not considered to be partners, what does that show? That they don't own it. They are merely the heirs that are taking the place of the father in bringing it. But it's owned by the estate, as it always was, and therefore it's not going to be mechaper on them. They're not the owners. So that moots your entire problem. Rish Lakish couldn't have said, let the heirs get a kapara. They're not the owners. How would they get the kapara? You're left with bringing a kapara on the dead? There's no such thing as a kapara on the dead. So therefore, Rish Lakish was smart enough not to offer your ridiculous answer. Because since it's crave of ein bo shetafut, the isak adaitach kanyelahu, if you actually entertain the notion that the mincha would be owned by the heirs, so then we shouldn't bring it on the Mizbeach, because after all, our beloved tells us nefesh, and a nefesh is only one person, not two people. So you see, there's no way that it could be mechaper on the Yarshim, because the Yarshim do not own it.